A violent power struggle between Sudan's rival military forces has entered its third week, with tens of thousands of people caught in the crossfire. A faltering ceasefire is due to expire on Sunday, and efforts by foreign powers to mediate have failed to achieve a lasting truce so far. On Saturday, there have been more airstrikes and artillery shelling in the capital, Khartoum. Sudan's army and the paramilitary rapid support forces fought pitched battles around the presidential palace. Well, the human cost has been enormous. At least 528 people have been killed since fighting began on April the 15th. People are running out of fuel, medicine and water. Thousands of Sudanese are leaving everything behind to escape their nation in turmoil. More than 50,000 people have crossed into neighbouring countries. Heber Morgan begins our coverage from Khartoum.
A rescue ship carrying nearly 2,000 evacuees from Sudan arrives in Jeddah, welcomed by members of the Saudi Royal Navy. On board are people from 17 countries, including Iran.
We have a bad situation in Khartoum. It was war. We don't know what should we do. Thank you from Saudi Arabia to make a good trip with ship to Saudi Arabia, and I'm very happy.
Back in Port Sudan on the eastern Red Sea coast, thousands are still waiting to leave.
I was among the people trapped for nearly 7 days in Khartoum with no food, electricity or water. The conditions were very bad, but thank God we managed to leave and come here.
Around 3,000 Yemenis have been stranded here for 6 days. They say they have no idea if or when they'll be allowed to board one of the ferries. While countries scramble to get their embassy staff and citizens out, intense fighting is taking place in several parts of Khartoum, as the conflict between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces, enters its third week. Both sides say they're making gains, and both blame each other for violating yet another ceasefire. Heavy artillery fire could be heard in Umdurman, Bahri and Khartoum on Thursday. Fighter jets belonging to the Sudanese army also launched airstrikes on RSF positions, as residents were warned to stay indoors to avoid getting caught in the crossfire. The RSF denies this and says it's taken control of an area south of the capital. The UN envoy has reiterated calls for a permanent end to the violence and issued this warning.
Regional countries and the international community must say that if the situation continues, even if one side wins the fight, that side would not be accepted internationally. If a side refuses negotiations and refuses reconciliation, it will not be accepted internationally, regionally, and I think also nationally in Sudan.
Sudan Doctors Union has warned the health system is on the verge of collapse. This hospital is in the city of Umdurman.
We lack medical staff and facilities. Our shifts have been extended, but there are only one or two doctors to cover two or three departments. In normal circumstances, this wouldn't happen, but now the situation is so difficult.
With essential supplies running out, those who can stream out of the country, relieved to be out of immediate danger, but uncertain about when it will be safe to return. Heber Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
Well, and these are some of the countries where many people from Sudan are escaping to. Egypt, where authorities say 14,000 Sudanese nationals have entered in the past week. Sudan itself is hosting more than a million refugees, mostly from South Sudan. Many of them are now returning home. The UN has registered about 14,000 returnees and says as many as 125,000 people are on their way. The UN says at least 20,000 people have crossed into Chad, joining the 400,000 Sudanese refugees who were already there. Ahmed Idris reports from the town of Kufrun in Chad on the border with Sudan.
This dry riverbed is what separates eastern Chad and the town of Tindalte in western Darfur. Over there are homes and businesses left behind by their owners because of fear of attacks. The residents woke up one day to find the military base in town completely deserted. And that has triggered an exodus of people. Thousands of them crossed this dry riverbed into the village of Kufrun in eastern Chad. And they're based there currently, thousands of them, living under harsh conditions while they can watch across the dry riverbed at their homes over there, simply because it's not safe for them to go back to their homes at the moment. Now, the situation is such that people are in need of shelter, in need of water, in need of food items, and they've been living like that for days until the arrival a few days ago by UN agencies and the World Food Programme delivered tons of aid to distribute to the people affected by the crisis and the migration across the river. Now, the World Food Programme budgeted for 20,000 people, the food they have in their stores to deal with the needs of these individuals. However, from all indications, that number is going to outgrow the estimation of the World Food Programme. And currently, the organization, as well as other donor agencies, are struggling to deal with the influx of refugees traveling from Sudan into the eastern part of Chad. Now, 30 kilometers from where we are is a town of Jenina, that recently witnessed some incidents, violent incidents, where soldiers on both sides were killed. And we are told that a lot of people are trapped in there and they cannot come this side because of the security concerns they have. Rather, they are moving farther inland into Sudan. They feel safer, much safer going that way. A family, a humanitarian organization family that escaped from Jenina and made it to Kufrun and then later to Adre, told Al Jazeera that they spent days negotiating their access through a distance of 500 meters in order to get to this place. And that's the situation here in eastern Chad at the moment. Ahmed Idris, Al Jazeera, Kufrun.
Well, as I mentioned, large numbers of people from South Sudan are also trying to return. Al Jazeera's Harima Tassa met some of them in Juba.
The International Organization for Migration says there are about 1.5 million people from South Sudan living in Sudan. Some of them are refugees. Others went there looking for work. When the fighting started, people like Anok Deng and her six children left Khartoum and came here to South Sudan's capital, Juba, a journey that took them about 2 days by bus. And they're now staying with family friends who've taken them in for as long as it takes. Anok Deng says the journey for her and her children to get here was traumatic.
My children heard gunfire and saw things they should never see. They are still scared. I am happy we got back to South Sudan safely.
No more killing in Sudan!
No more killing in Sudan!
South Sudan has close ties with its neighbor, Sudan. Remember, this country gained independence from Sudan in 2011. Many people still have friends and family stuck in Sudan, and they're worried about what's happening over there.
The same experience that Sudan went is what I went through in our crisis in South Sudan, where we have witnessed people have been killed, people have lost lives, people have been displaced, and children and elderly people have suffered most. So when I saw the fighting in Sudan, it worries me more because I start wondering the pain that the Sudanese people are going through.
Salva Kiir, South Sudan's president, is leading mediation efforts as part of the regional group IGAD. He's trying to get officials from the Sudanese army and the paramilitary RSF to have face-to-face talks here in the capital, Juba. Government officials say it's still a work in progress. Harima Tassa, Al Jazeera, Juba.